Hey y'all, welcome to the Lone Sound Magazine podcast, Music, Culture, Texas. Find us online at lonesoundmagazine.com. And here's your host, editor Jamie Siegel.
Hey everyone, my name is Jamie Siegel. I'm a journalist based in Dallas, Texas, and I'm the editor and founder of Lone Sound Magazine. Each week, we're sharing interviews with individuals who are moving our creative culture forward. From visual artists and musicians to fashion designers and producers, we're always inspired by their stories, and we hope y'all will be too. This week, I'm talking to Remy Riley. She is an up-and-coming singer-songwriter from North Texas, and y'all are just going to love her. She has a bright and bubbly personality that is just really contagious, and I think that comes across in her live performances as well as in this podcast. At 17, she's been gigging and playing music for about 4 years now, so I wanted to ask her how she's been doing things like managing her music career and going to high school, and how her songwriting has evolved over the years. Remy tells me about the new EP she's dropping sometime this year, and how she's continued to refine it throughout the course of the pandemic. The first single off the EP is a collaboration with Texas native Jonathan Tyler, a musician, songwriter, and really a staple of the contemporary Americana scene. Remy is so passionate and authentic and silly, but she's also so grounded and eager to learn and humble. So it was really cool to hear her perspective on things like playing guitar and piano on her record for the first time, or her first time playing at a historic venue. Finally, Remy plays us an acoustic unplugged version of one of her songs from the EP, and you'll have to listen to our podcast to hear it. Or go to YouTube, because it's there too. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another video from us. For real, we're super grateful for your support. Thank you so much for listening, and here is me and Remy Riley coming up after this message. I am here with Remy Riley.
Hey everybody, I'm Remy Riley.
Today, it's a beautiful day in Dallas, and Remy is here with us, and she just pulled up in this awesome black van with like rainbow stripes across it. And yeah, so let's talk about that. Tell me about your van. This is awesome.
So it was about the first month of March, like last year. Wait, why does that even make any sense? It was March last year. Mm-hmm. And I had decided I was going to buy my own car. I was like, I'm going to do it with my own money. I'm gonna do this. Mm-hmm. So I bought my own car. It was this cute little blue Hyundai. And I was so excited. It was a different color. I love the funky colors.
Yeah.
And it blew up the day I brought it home.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They recalled it too after I had bought the car.
Wow.
And so I was like so disappointed. I was like, man, that was my first car. I was so excited. Like I bought it, like blah, blah, blah. And my dad and mom were like, just chill. Like, wait, just don't get another car. Hold on. Mm-hmm. We're going to get something better. I promise we'll get something better. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So I wait a year. My dad's like, I'm ready to buy a van. And I'm like, no way. So we found this van in California and they shipped it to us during that ice storm.
Oh my gosh.
In the middle of the storm. Holy. And it rolled up in the snow. And then my dad was like, this needs rainbows. And I was like, yeah,
obviously.
I'm not going to say no. Like, so we just got these rainbow stripes put on it to match my logo.
Yeah.
And Black Beauty, BB, okay. Is now the star.
I love this. My car's name is Baby Blue, so.
Oh, that's what my car that broke down was named. It was just Baby.
Okay.
But oh my gosh, that is, what a coincidence.
Yeah, right? Like Baby Driver.
Right?
Yeah, I love it. So Remy's a singer-songwriter and plays guitar, piano, all the things, and she also performs with her band. So yeah, let's talk about what you've been working on from the pandemic. I guess, what were you about to do, like right when the pandemic happened, where you were like, damn it, like, we were about to do all these things.
Oh, yeah, I really.
what was going on at that time for you?
You know, my dad says, we were trucking. Like, we were going. I was having such a blast before the pandemic. I know everybody else was too, but I was on the Fortress Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so excited to play that. Like, I was, oh my gosh, all year I was waiting for it. And it got canceled.
A killer lineup too.
Yeah. And
so
then
great.
I recorded my EP like the day COVID happened, like the day everything got shut down. It was like March 13th.
Yeah, I believe, mid-March.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere. And I remember going to school and coming to the studio after school, and they were like, one of the instrument, one of the musicians there is a school teacher. So he was like, "Ah, Remy, you know, you better watch out in those schools. We're about to shut down." And I'm like, "Nah."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Nah. Just an extra spring break."
Yeah.
And I was like, "No." But then after that happened, it made the process much longer for getting the EP done, because we were in the middle of it, like maybe three songs in at that mm-hmm. point. So it's taking us a lot longer than we expected, but it's all right. You know, yeah. we're making everything just how we want it. So yeah. honestly, I see it as a good thing, getting sure. to see what I like and redoing vocals, because it's weird. Like, your voice can really change
yeah.
like as a teenager in a span of a few months. And mm-hmm. I look back at these old recordings and I'm like, wow, I got deeper.
Right, my range.
I was like, wow.
That's so funny. So how old are you?
I'm 17 now.
Okay, very cool. So in high school, you're going to be a junior, senior?
I'm a junior. I'm about to be a senior.
Oh, yay. Oh my gosh. So how are you managing, you know, both things, just maintaining like high school and then also music?
It was kind of crazy in the beginning because my mom's a school teacher. So okay. I would have to get up at 5 with her every morning to make sure she got to school on her time, like, because they have to go in earlier than the students.
Right.
So I would have to wake up with her, and then she would drop me off of the high school. And she always did this weird thing. She would drop me off in the neighborhood next to it, and I'd have to walk. She was like, "I'm not going in car line." I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, now that I'm driving, I understand.
Right.
But
it's like an extra 10 minutes or whatever.
Was.
Yeah.
It may help me clear my mind. It helped me prepare mentally to go where I was about to go.
Yeah. Right? You need this me time, like self-care.
Really, yes, you really do. And so, yeah. Juggling school was not terrible, but it was definitely challenging sometimes when I would be out till like 1 a.m. at a gig, and I'd come home and then have to do homework. I'd be up at 3, go to bed, wake up at 5, and do it all over again. It was kind of hard, but at the same time, I loved it because I love always doing something. Like, I always have to be active, I guess.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad. But now I have changed to online school.
Right.
So. Okay. It's a lot easier.
Yeah? Is it online easier? I was like, sometimes I feel like it would be harder to just like be able to focus.
It's so much easier because I didn't do the online school that my school had provided. I went to a completely different one that like was solely based, like solely that's what they've been since 2009.
Okay.
And it's so much more freeing, and it's kind of like a where you teach yourself kind of thing.
Liberal
and
arts kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah. It's like a bunch of kids that go there do a lot of like outside activities like right. myself, and it's like really nice to be in a spot like that with people who like kind of understand. Right. I haven't made any friends all year, which is cool, but like
yeah that part right. is different, I guess, because they're from all over, so it's
right? Oh yeah,
okay, so yeah. It's not like you guys go to prom or something.
No,
like that.
No. They do have meetups, but obviously we haven't done those because of COVID. They're like, you know, we're just gonna stay online. So I'm like, that's yeah. fine. Like, I have not made any friends. It yeah. won't disappoint me.
But it's cool because everybody's busy doing like yeah. music or gymnastics or
exactly.
something like training wise.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So this new EP. So you guys started working on it last year.
I did.
And this was at the Echo Lab at
yes.
Pence Studio. Okay. I guess, how would you describe your music, and how does it compare to music that you've released in the past?
I would describe my music as like very poppy, but also indie. And I haven't had any other explanation for it. It's like it's everywhere. Like
yeah.
if you go to my Spotify, it's like there's Burn. It's like it's with the Vandaliers.
Yeah.
And then you go to Little Things. That was with Kirk Thurmond.
Yeah.
And you go through the rest of the stuff. It's Jason Burt. It's mm-hmm. like, Remy, what are you? I will never know.
Right.
So I'm still in the process of figuring it out. But I would say overall, all of that is pretty much pop
yeah.
to me. Like,
yeah.
it's just like it falls under that umbrella of like right. indie pop. So that's how I describe it. But my new stuff, however, I've definitely gotten more into the path of pop
yeah.
than I have in the past, because everybody's been telling me, man, hey, like, I love your straight on stuff with just a band, but like, we got to get these beats coming in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sure. Yo, I mean, I'm not opposed to it. Like, mm-hmm. I like to dance.
Well, there's something to be said about pop songs because they do connect with everyone.
Yeah.
You know? And what other type of pop artists are you listening to these days, or music you've been listening to, or songwriters that you've been kind of learning from?
I learn a lot lately from Mark Foster from Foster the People.
Yeah.
He's so interesting with how his like songwriting, mm-hmm. like the way he writes and stuff, and how he'll take something from nothing mm-hmm. and it'll be this big catchy song that you just can't stop listening to. And them, and I've been really listening to a lot of Bad Sons lately.
Mm-hmm.
They're so catchy. Like, I can't find one song that is not catchy. I love them. And my all-time favorite band is a band called James Supercave.
Ooh, okay. I haven't heard.
They are absolutely phenomenal. Okay. I definitely recommend if you haven't listened to them.
Okay.
And if you have listened to them, you've been blessed. They are incredible. They come to Dallas sometimes, so you might get a chance to see them.
Yeah.
That was the last concert I saw before the pandemic.
Oh,
and
man,
I was
that's a good
one. Thankful because they ended their tour after that, and I was like, okay, I got to see them.
Wow. So for them, it was probably meaningful too, because it was like their last show of their tour right before everything got shut down. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, no, those are, I guess you could say those are more indie instead of pop artists that really inspire me, but those are the artists that I've really been connecting to lately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How have the subjects, you know, as you've gotten older over the past few years, you know, how has the subject matter about the things you write about change, or, you know, have they changed at all?
Wow. I'm really glad you asked that question because I've been wanting to talk about this one. Okay. I've been waiting for this one.
Okay, great.
So
good.
A lot of the subjects I talked about when I was 13, when my first EP came out, it's I really, really didn't know how any of that felt. And I still don't. I'm still young. You know, I've got so much to learn and I feel like I haven't learned anything. But it was I thought at that time, I was yeah, I've been through real heartbreak. I've been through all of this. I know the way around here. Back of my hand. But then I get to this age and I'm like, oh, honey.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was nothing compared to what you've been through now
right.
and what you're going to go through.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think it's an actually such a beautiful thing because it's kind of when you're listening to my songs,
mm-hmm.
it's you're watching me
evolve, learn. And
it's it's relatable to people because I feel everybody's always learning, no matter what age they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that I meant what I said at the time.
Because it was real.
It was real.
Yeah.
I felt those feelings. I think it was just very exaggerated.
Yes.
And now I can say those feelings with a little more confidence. It's a little bit more believable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. When you're acting and you're have to kind of transfer that emotion and you're no, I actually get
what completely.
Being heartbroken feels like.
And it's not even just me. The older I get, the more people you're around, the more mature people you're around, and you see what they're going through. My mom always told me, you really don't know how good you've had it until you go out into college and you see how these other people's lives were. The more people you talk to, you see how they grew up and what they were taught, and you're like, wow, everybody is so different.
Yeah.
But it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool too because you're kind of growing up and around music and backstage and all this stuff. So you do meet so many different people.
Oh, I love it.
And how they've turned some of their hardships or their heartbreaks into really beautiful, beautiful songs.
And you can steal it and write about it, and then they'll relate to it.
Yeah, right.
They'll be like, wait a minute, Remy. I actually had that happen to me.
Somebody stole your song?
No. I just steal ideas from people.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm talking to you, I'll be I love talking to people. I love hearing about your life. I want to know the littlest things to the biggest things about people. I just love people. And it's a very good thing that songwriters do this because there are so many stories you can take that there's some things people say that I'm like, wow, I know for a fact that I will never go through that. But if I can take what I'm feeling from this person, I can make a song out of it. Because just like I wrote about those things at 13, I can make a song out of how they made me feel. It's almost like an empath feeling the feelings.
Right.
It's
you're transferring it.
Yeah.
It's telling those stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's funny. On our last podcast, Edie Brickell, we were interviewing the guitarist for Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. And he was talking about Edie's songwriting. and how she says that like stories are just like all around us and they're everywhere and it's totally limitless if you just have to listen to them because they want to be told.
Yeah, completely. I don't remember the person who told me that, which is a shame, but somebody once told me, and I think they were a songwriter or a piano player, they told me that songwriting is like always searching for a song and you just have to dig them up in places.
Oh,
and I feel like that person was so right.
Yeah.
Because my new song Bumblebee for my for Christmas, my grandma had knitted me this adorable like quilt and it has bees all over it and flowers because I love like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in my room and I was like, man, I have nothing to write about. This is so boring. This is lame. You know, as the teenage girls, this is lame.
Yeah. But, you know. I'm bored. I'm just bored. Yeah.
But I looked over at my quilt and I was like, oh, there is a song in this.
Yeah.
There is a bumblebee there. She did that for me.
Right.
So I literally wrote a song off of it. Like, I feel like it's literally anywhere.
It. Yeah. I love that. That is so. And so. How have you, do you kind of start writing with just, you know, your guitar in your room with like a few chords, or do you write them down on your notes? Like, what, do you have a process, or do you have to be alone, or, you know, what is it like for you?
My process is so annoying. it's like a hit or miss. I'm like a forever 21. Like, I can't ever, like, I can't, like, I will sit down with intentions and it won't happen. And mm-hmm. sometimes I'll just sit down, like, I'll just have something in my head. And I will just write this cool song.
Yeah.
But then other days I write something and I'm like, what in the world were you thinking? And it's like, I don't think there is a right. Everyone says this, but there's no right or wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, because I do it differently every time. Sometimes I do chords first and sometimes it's melody. Sometimes it's lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I just pull from there. I seriously... My process is like scatterbrain.
Yeah.
Just like my actual brain.
Whatever works at the time.
Yeah.
Just go.
Exactly. Yeah. I just go with the flow, wherever the wind takes me.
Yeah. So what was it like in the studio, you know, kind of going over those songs, working with Matt and some of the other musicians that were playing on the record?
It was awesome. I love like being around other musicians that are like really seasoned and like have done it a while. They really teach you a lot, especially like people like me who don't know that much yet about
mm-hmm.
like, I mean, I know, but like, I don't know like they know.
Yeah.
So it's cool to like, you know, kind of like pick their brains and like, oh, what is he doing there? Like, how is he doing that? And just kind of like focusing on that. And also watching Matt, like he doesn't know this, but I'm sitting in the back with his dog and I'm watching what he's doing
Mavis.
On that computer. Yeah. Mavis.
Yeah.
I love Mavy. Oh my gosh. I'm sitting back there and I'm watching. They may think that I'm just like, you know, staring out into space, which I always look like I am.
Yeah.
I'm listening. Don't you worry, guys. And I also love asking them questions.
Yeah.
I like interviewing them too.
Right.
It's like, I like being like, so what's your name?
Yeah.
How are you doing this? Like, that's crazy. I just love it.
Since the pandemic, like all these festivals have been announced, it's kind of crazy. What is your take on the rest of 2021? Are you feeling like you're comfortable with playing like bigger events yet? Or are you planning on just kind of doing more studio stuff? Or how have your goals changed, I guess?
Oh, man. I think that my goals have kind of changed a lot. Like with this van.
Yes.
Before I was like, you know, let's focus on really like... focusing on your own band and stuff and like trying to like get things really honed in and like let's start doing more with the band and stuff, which I do want to do. But now that I have a van, I'm like, oh my gosh, the possibilities are endless.
That van is made for the road,
it
for
is.
Sure.
And yes. I want to take it there.
Yeah.
And I want to, my new goals are to try to branch out because I really don't play anywhere other than Dallas. And it's like, it's great. Like I love Dallas. I'll always love Dallas. It'll mm-hmm. always be my main. But I want to definitely go out and see what those little cities are like.
Right? Like, is there anywhere in particular you've always wanted to go?
Not really. I kind of just I don't really know. I'm really bad at geography. I don't really know anywhere. I just know that there exists.
Yeah, right.
there's got to be some place that will become my favorite.
Yeah.
But lately I've been playing Waco and it's so cool. Like, who would have thought? Like, right? A college town?
Waco's
like,
been coming up.
It has. Sure.
Yeah.
They are really cool. I wasn't expecting myself to like it that much. Yeah. But over at Freight in Waco is incredible. Okay. And the owner's amazing. Know. They're great. Venue.
Andrew asked you to see if you'd be open to bringing your guitar and playing us a song. What do you think you're going to play for us today?
I think I'm going to play You Guys Lost Without You.
Yay. Stay tuned. It's coming up right after this message.
The Other Ones Foundation is a nonprofit that offers extremely low barrier employment, case management, and humanitarian aid to people experiencing homelessness. The Other Ones Foundation pays people experiencing homelessness a dignified wage of $15 an hour to work in service of their community, cleaning parks, running free public shower trailers around town, learning general contractor work, and more. Donate, learn more, and get involved at toofound.org. That's TOOFound.org. The Other Ones Foundation, transitioning Austin's homeless neighbors into an engaged community through shelter, opportunity, and support.
KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas-Fort Worth is a 55,000-watt community-supported radio station. The Voice of the People is programmed 24 hours a day by volunteer DJs, reflecting the diversity and celebrating the culture of its listeners. For information about the station or to support true independent freeform broadcasting, visit KNON.org.
Loving you is just as what it says. I don't think I could do this anymore. Someone told me that you got a new girl. Is this your fifth world? I wouldn't be surprised if you had a 6-1 bat tonight, because the world's got something going on. I'm not sure, but it sure is strong. I won't last so long, no. Baby, baby, won't you come on back? I've been waiting since you left. I'm lost without you, lost without you, lost without you. Tell me, what did I do wrong? You'd do anything to let me go. And I'm lost without you, lost without you, lost without you.
What has been the hardest thing for you? Or you've been doing it since 13, you said? Or younger than that?
About that. I mean, I started singing at 11, but I would say like gigging and stuff, 13.
Yeah. So, I mean, what has been the hardest part of your evolution, or of, you know, sticking with it? And I mean, what's been the most challenging aspect, you'd say?
For like the whole music thing?
Yeah. Or just being a performer, like learn, like singing, getting like Joshua Ray Walker. I remember telling me that he used to have like terrible stage fright.
Uh-huh.
And that he, you know, he I couldn't really play guitar at first because I was like shaking because I was like so nervous. And so, but he has the voice of an angel now.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh.
It's
crazy to think that he would have stage fright over his singing. And I'm like, what? But, you know, he's like, that's something that he overcame it, you know, obviously. But yeah, is there anything that's been kind of more difficult for you?
I think there's a few things that have been difficult for me. I have a lot of like, and this is, you know, this is going to be a really big shocker for being an artist, but I have a lot of self-doubt. And I will walk into a room and my mind will immediately say, you are the worst musician here. What are you doing? You need to like go do something like you go back to painting rocks, Remy. Like, this isn't for you. Like, I will say that to myself so much. And then I'll get on stage and while I'm playing, I'll look around and I'm like, oh my God, why is that guy looking at me? And then I'm like, Remy, that's your job.
Yeah.
I'm like, my mind just like goes everywhere. Like,
yeah.
I have lots of anxiety, like most people do. But sometimes mine can be a little too overpowering in music situations. And I think that's been one big challenge for me in the music. And just getting over the fact that like it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be fine. Like, just go do what you do, have fun, and don't worry about if that guy's looking at you or not. And I've really embraced that these past few months being quarantined.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I'm done living for other people. I'm living for me. And I was like, I'm making changes.
Right.
So that's kind of what I've been doing. Like, I always thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to write this song this way because this is what this person's going to want to hear.
Right.
And I was like, no, Remy. What do you want to hear?
Yeah, right? Like, why do I, like, yeah, what yeah. do I need from this, like, little yeah. song, relationship, whatever it
it's
is?
It's kind of like your vibe tracks your tribe. Like, yeah. I should just be myself, and whoever likes it is going to be the people who like it. If people don't like it, that's cool, too. There's a bunch of artists I don't care for.
Yeah.
But I don't go out and be like, I hate these people.
Right? You're just you know? Like, I just won't go to the shows.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I respect, you know, all artists, but, mm-hmm. like, if I don't, like, you know, particularly like them, I won't listen to them,
or, yeah
you know, you don't have to stream it,
right? Exactly.
So it's like, I'm like, Remy, it's okay. I think I'm just so caught up in that, like, high school mentality,
yeah,
of that everybody was judging me all the time. But once I got out of high school, that for being online school and being by myself,
mm-hmm.
I realized that it's not like that. Like, yeah, they say high school never ends, but, like, it really isn't.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't, like, one of the best advice, because my dad's given me a lot of advice in my life.
Yeah.
One of the best things he ever said to me is, and I will say this just like he does it, he goes, Remy, nobody cares. And I have taken that and ran with it, because when I get upset, I just think of him saying that, and it's like, you know what? He's right. That guy over there, he doesn't care what I'm doing right now. Like, yeah. you may get curious with people, but at the end of the day, I really don't care if you go to Starbucks or Wendy's.
Yeah.
Like, you can go wherever you want if I don't like that place, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people don't care. Like, you can go out and run around your laps. If you only do one lap because that's all you can do, why should you care if someone's like, they only ran one lap?
Yeah, right? Like, you know? Oh, then they're walking too slow or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, Remy, nobody cares. It's not a negative thing. It's more of, like, live your own life. Like,
yes. You know? Continue to do what you're going to do regardless of, you know, what you think they're thinking.
Yeah, and also don't judge others. Like, yes. You know, everybody live their own life. Let's be happy together.
Yes. So you with the relationship with you and your dad, because he has a music career in music as well, and so tell me about that relationship now. You also, like, working relationship, and, like, was that part of the reason that you thought that you wanted to be a musician? Or
the reason I wanted to be a musician was very random, and I'll tell you the story because it's actually funny.
Yes.
But my dad used to take me to concerts and stuff when I was little, and I would always say, I was like, when are we going home? Like, this, yeah. I really don't want to be here. Can I go play with, like, my animals or whatever? Yeah. Like,
what kind of shows were these?
Like, he would take me to Jesse McCartney and Hannah Montana, like, all the things that a little girl would love.
Yeah.
And I didn't appreciate it. I was like, oh my gosh, boys? Ew. Like, I just was so not having it, and I always wanted to leave. Like, he even took me to see Jonathan Tyler and this hysterical picture of me just so put out with my peace sign up, and I'm like, and there's Jonathan Tyler and Bo Bedford in the back row playing. And it comes to find out I ended up working with both of them later on, which is, yeah, it's like full circle, my dad says.
Totally.
And no, so I told my dad, I was like, I will never be a musician. Like, I will never do that job. Like, I wanted to be like a chef or something crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I just did not want to do it. Like, I remember hating going to, like, music class in school growing
really?
Up. I hated it. I absolutely hated
did
it.
Did you play an instrument?
No, I didn't. I refused to. Whenever they asked me to, I literally got it taken off my grade because they were like, she doesn't want to participate. And I would just be like, this is so dumb. Like, why would anybody do this for a career? And then one day my dad's artist was playing a cajon, and I was like, what is that box thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that looks cool.
Okay.
And I was like, I want to do that. So I sat, I remember this was the exact moment when I knew I wanted to do it. They all left to go out to eat for dinner. Like, I was home alone. It was my brother, my dad, and my mom. They all went out. And I sat the little cajon in the middle of the living room. I started playing it, and I made up all these songs, and I sang for my dogs. Aww. And I was just having the best time. And it felt like there was, like, no time. Like,
no time had passed.
Between, yeah, no like, time had passed.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt right. And I was like, you know, maybe I do want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the back of my mind, it was working something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these years, my dad had immersed me in music, and so did my mom. My mom worked on the radio as well. That's how my dad and mom met.
Oh, cute.
So it's a music family.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, maybe the back of my mind was paying attention, but my physical and my vocal, like, projection was not correlating with the back of my mind.
Right.
Because I knew I always loved going to shows. I was always watching the drummer.
Yeah.
The drummer from Plain White Tees.
Oh, I loved Plain White Tees.
I always watched him as a kid. Like, yeah. I was always fixated on him. And that's why I started learning the drums after I'd got that cajon.
Okay.
And after I learned drums, it was just snowballed from there. Like, I just became a musician, I guess.
So you told your dad, like, okay, now I get it. I want to do it.
And I was like, no, like, I started writing songs more.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, you can't be a songwriter that just plays drums. Like, you can't write a song with that. And I was like, I was like, no, I'm a drummer, Dad.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. But then I fell in love with piano.
Yeah.
And I started writing songs on there, and then I was really scared to start guitar, but I did that too, and now I love all three.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You play the drums too?
I try to as much as I can.
Yeah.
I love the drums. I want to, like, just be more into that. But
yeah. Just, like, is it more of just, like, that, like, release of just being able to, or, you know, what is it that you love about the drums?
I love the drums because I'm always tapping on something, like, especially in my desk at school, or like when I'm just around, I'm always like just tapping something.
Yeah.
And it just is a release of getting that out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this can actually sound good. It's also like my first love, so yeah. It's like I love playing the drums. Like, they're just so much fun.
So the EP, do you guys have any plans on when you'd like to release it? You mentioned there are like some really cool special guests, so tell me about some of the people that you've worked on with this record.
I had Matt Pence, obviously. He played the drums and produced. And I had Ben Barajas on bass. And we had Charlie on the guitar.
Yes, you know, wonderful.
He's amazing.
Yes.
Everybody knows him and Ben. They're like a duo.
Yes, exactly.
They're great. we had some incredible people. And then we had Sarah Jaffe.
Yeah.
And she taught me a lot.
Yeah, what was that? Yeah, she's so cool too. Just like,
she's the coolest.
Cool. Yeah, very, very cool.
I was like,
cool.
Man, I want to be you when I grow up.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah. So what was it like working with her, and what kind of stuff did you learn?
It was, my dad described it as, man, I just watched two weirdos try to work together. I was really like, I don't know. I felt like I related to her a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it felt good to, like, you know, relate to somebody that's a little bit older than you that can help, like, show you things. Like, she helped me vocally a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to vocal lessons for about 3 years in the beginning, mm-hmm. but I stopped. And since then, I haven't had much knowledge on, like, you know, how to take care of your vocals or what sounds better in certain places. And she really helped me kind of find that and show me what to do in certain places and how to take breaths better. And
Cool.
Oh, you should sing this shorter. Trust me, it'll sound good. Like,
yeah.
Or leave out that run. You know, stuff like that. She just really helped me, like, figure out how these things kind of work.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then you also mentioned earlier working with Jonathan Tyler. And that's kind of a full circle thing too, right? So, tell me about that.
Oh, my gosh. Jonathan Tyler is an absolute genius in the production and everything.
Wow.
And songwriting. Oh my gosh, he's such a talented songwriter. And working with him has been really funny because I've known him since I was a little girl.
Right.
And I always like my dad telling these crazy stories about him and them on the road. And it was just, it's so funny. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here with this guy. We're doing, like, we're making a song.
Yeah.
And like, he's taught me a lot. Like, a lot. I'm with production wise, songwriting wise, a lot, and like playing guitar too. He's helped me a little bit on that too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is really cool because I need a lot of help on the guitar. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's been amazing working with him. He's really opened up my mind and not changed my songwriting style, mm-hmm. but opened it up. Like, I'm not afraid to try new things now.
Yeah.
Obviously, most of my stuff has been, like, very different. But he opened up a new songwriting realm.
Okay.
It feels like it. Like, yeah. The stuff I've been writing lately has been better organized than my last stuff. Because okay. I've never been really good at arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would go into the studio, the first thing the producer would say was, "This is great, but let's arrange this better."
Okay.
Like, there's a better sequence this could go in.
Okay.
It's like fitting the puzzle pieces.
Right.
So I think he switched something. He mm-hmm. like helped me with something.
That's amazing.
And it helped me so much with my arrangement. And I've noticed a huge difference in like, oh, I can actually do this.
Yeah, right? It's, like, you're like, this just feels like it should go here versus yeah. here. Something like
that. It's not impossible as I thought it was.
Yeah, that's exciting. So, yeah, you've gotten to just, like, really learn and absorb a lot. Is that some of that stuff you think, like, pretty evident on the new record?
I would say so. Vocally, I kind of had a little bit of some growth there.
Yes.
From the last time. I got the chance to finally play on my actual record. It sounds so weak.
No.
But I've always been terrified to do it. And I always, you know, my anxiety would be like, you're taking too many takes.
Yeah.
They're getting bored. You're just a kid. Like, get out. Like,
oh my gosh. But this is the first time that you're playing your own instrument on it.
On one of my songs called Beauty, I got to play the beginning part of like the little piano. He wanted to be natural like me.
Yeah.
And I got to play guitar on my song Lost Without You.
Oh,
the main
cool.
riff that I came up with.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited just to have a small part, even though I wrote it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I will always roast myself for my abilities. I'm working on them, but I'm not that confident in those yet. And that's also something I'm working on.
Right. But still hearing it, I'm sure hearing it, you know, after it's been released, it's got to be a win that you're like, okay, ooh. I can totally do this. I can, you know, you're just going to continue to get better.
For sure. I was like, you know, Remy, it's okay. Like, yeah. All of that is just the self judging, and it's okay.
Yeah,
just keep like going.
The imposter syndrome.
Yeah, the imposter syndrome.
Yeah,
I was saying like about time's sake. Like,
yeah, like too many takes or something.
Yeah,
like
too
that.
Too many takes, or I don't really know what I'm doing sometimes. Yeah. Not, but yeah, they're right. Like I know how to play the instrument. It's yes. just that I'm not there yet.
Yeah,
that's all right.
I honestly think. Playing, I mean, since I just started learning the guitar, so I think anybody who can play the guitar and sing, I think just doing that in general takes so much coordination. I'm like, how do people do that? I mean, I've seen you just go out there with just your guitar, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like, you've got to have like great rhythm and just be able to entertain people with just like you and your instrument without like a band behind you. Like, that actually absolutely terrifies me thinking about it. So I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah, and you have such a great voice. So, I mean, totally command a presence. I think everybody at the Kessler was like, whoa, this is awesome.
That show was so amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that was the first watching him.
One of the first big shows, indoor shows, I guess, back yeah. for you, right?
It was. It was my first like big like actual venue shows that wasn't like a restaurant or some little outside area
yeah.
busking.
Legendary venue.
Yeah, it
sure.
was. It was definitely a venue I've been wanting to play for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a few shows there, like ZZ Ward and the New Respects and mm-hmm. many more. And I was like, wow, this room is just the sound quality. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I was like, man, I wonder how it'd feel to play here. And when I played there, oh my gosh, it just was magical.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, everybody was so excited to be there because nobody had been to a concert in so long.
Right.
So it felt like they were like really listening, like
yeah.
not that they would be like you know, not, but right. like at that kind of show, but
it did feel intimate, and like people
really,
weren't
yeah.
really like talking during the like people were really like zoned in,
yeah,
yeah,
and it felt like, oh my gosh, they're listening to what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they're not talking about Freebird or anything. Like, they're, you know,
right?
it was like, wow, Yeah. It was a great feeling. And then watching Abraham go up after me, he was incredible.
Absolutely.
And then
amazing.
Leon just showed up. Right? And I was like, what? It was so cool.
That is that, right? That is like the beauty of Dallas sometimes. You're just, you have no idea who's going to show up. Like, what?
That reminds me. I was playing with Mark Ribier.
Oh, so cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
Erica Badu showed up and started playing with him at the show I opened
in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
at the car. Not the car.
The coyote driver, right?
Yeah.
The
car.
It is like a car. I get where you're going.
There's cars there.
I get it.
And I was flipping out.
That's like, amazing.
I know it was on a screen, but I was flipping out.
Was that the first time you'd seen Erica Badu play live?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, cool. And she just shows up. Like,
she just showed up in, as legendary as she is in her, oh my God, she's so hysterical.
Yeah.
She had me laughing so hard. No, I was just so excited. And that's like the beauty of like this area.
Yeah.
Because sometimes like they will just show up.
Yeah.
Like
it's insane.
The greats will just fall down and then just bestow this amazing show.
Yeah. Right. That everybody is talking about that. You're like, what? And they just like, it's not like they rehearsed it or practiced it. They just like show up and just drop some magic on everybody. Yeah. It's amazing. Are there any other like local or Texas musicians that you would love to tour with or just collaborate with?
Me and Frankie Leone are talking about doing a little Texas tour.
Oh, I love this idea so much.
Yeah, we're thinking of doing something like that. I'd definitely love to tour with her. And man, I think there's a lot of Texas artists I would love to do that with. Like, I love everybody so much. Like the Dallas music scene, it feels just like home to me.
Totally.
Like I love everybody in it, and it's like everybody's so supportive of each other. It's like not competitive in my eyes. I know some people have said that, but I'm like, what? You must be on the wrong side of town.
Yeah.
Like where I am,
you should mix around with different musicians.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah. I'm like, man, no, that's not. No, I think it's very supportive. So I think I'd be open to like literally anybody.
Anybody?
Like, I love everybody.
What else would you like to tell our listeners or anything else you have coming up, where people can find you, anything like that?
I guess you could find all my music at Remy Riley. Riley as in R-E-I-L-L-Y, as my mama likes to say it. O'Reilly Auto Parts without the O. That joke is getting so old in my head.
I love it.
But someone always laughs. See? Someone always laughs.
It works.
No matter how many times. I've got some new music coming up, some new collabs with some local artists, and I'm really excited for what's coming.
And that's it. Thank you all so much for listening, and a special thank you to Remy Riley for taking the time to be on our podcast and showing us that new van. If you've been enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and follow us on our other platforms, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all the things. Thanks again and see y'all next week.
You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. You can subscribe to Lone Sound Magazine at lonesoundmagazine.com.